Six Music.
This is Chris Hawkins.
Four tracks.
Rafe, congratulations on Life of Pi, a beautiful film on every level.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be a part of it, I have to say.
How did you become a part of it? Did you audition or were you approached to appear in it?
I got a really lovely phone call from my agent saying that Ang Lee wanted to speak to me about being in Life of Pi. And then after that conversation, I then found out I had to have a Skype conversation with Ang Lee, which was quite surreal, especially with a 10-second delay.
Of course it would be. But once you pick yourself up off the floor on that first conversation, so Ang Lee's on the end of the phone, how did that conversation go?
Well, I didn't know what he wanted to talk to me about. All I knew is that he wanted to talk to me about Life of Pi. I didn't know in what capacity that I would be a part of it or anything like that. I then found out that he was going to fly to London to come and meet me, which was a real thrill. And he was really lovely. And he asked me to do the film. And then the next thing I knew, I was in Montreal shooting my bit of it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it really was amazing, you know, because I think every actor in the world would want to work with Ang Lee because he's a truly special director and an auteur and probably the only person in the world capable of bringing this novel to the screen.
Was it a particular role that he'd seen you in that was the reason why he was contacting you?
I was in Prometheus. I think that the casting director, the head of casting, had seen me in that and thought that I would be right for Life of Pi. And then Ang watched it and then thought, you give me a go. And then I did an audition and then here I am now speaking to you.
And you say Ang's the only person that could have brought this book to life as a film.
Yeah.
It was such a massive, massive book. How did you see it being translated?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, my tiny brain can only open so wide in terms of imagining how you would possibly translate this to the screen. And that's why the world needs people like Ang Lee, because it is beyond my comprehension. It's a bit like quantum physics is beyond my comprehension. And so is how you could possibly make a film about a boy on a boat with a tiger be so beautiful and so gripping and so interesting, the like of which I've never seen before, really. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in it. I would love this film as a punter.
I loved it as a punter, and the CGI is phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. There's animals in this giving better performances than human beings.
Do you know what? I'm so embarrassed that I got so taken in by the film. It only dawned on me afterwards that they were CGI.
I don't want to ruin too much, but my favourite's the orangutan.
Yeah. What we'll do is we'll talk about your role in the film in a few moments. Okay. But for now, this weekend, you've got four tracks sorted for me to play on the show. What's the first one?
The first one is Who Knows Where the Time Goes by Sandy Denny.
Why have you picked this, Rafe?
I think she has a really extraordinary voice. And I listen to this song before I go on stage most nights because it just stirs up my emotions. And I don't really warm up as an actor. I don't go out on stage and do a bit of Downward Dog or whatever. I listen to music, you know. It's one of my passions in life. And I associate songs with special times in my life.
Rafe, you play a writer in Life of Pi. Have you ever had any aspirations to write yourself?
I have actually, yeah. And I mean, there's something inherently naff about actors saying that they want to write. So I say this with caution, but yeah, sure. You know, I spend most weeks reading scripts, and I'm able to differentiate between what's good and what's bad in scripts, I think. And then in scripts that I've read that haven't been very good, I spend my time trying to twist dialogue into sounding sort of presentable, as it were. So I do have aspirations to write, and I have written, and I've just written a script which I've sort of trepidatiously sent out to people. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, I like the idea of writing films, yeah.
Did you always intend to be an actor?
Yeah, I think so. As long as I knew that I had to do anything in life, really, it was that I was going to be an actor. My dad's a wonderful actor, one of our great actors, in my opinion. And so I grew up around it. I've known from an early age that it was something that I wanted to do. It took me a while to admit it to my dad, but then when I did admit it, he was very supportive and remains my sort of mentor to this day, really.
And you're dead right. He is one of this country's leading actors, an amazing actor. I was looking through his CV. It's extraordinary. And I assume that when you were a kid, the first thing that you remember seeing him in was Auf Wiedersehen, Pet, would it be?
I was born during the first series.
Right.
Of Auf Wiedersehen, Pet. Yeah. But then, you know, that show used to get 20 million viewers.
Yeah, it was huge.
And I grew up with my dad being very famous when I was young, you know.
Was that all right? How was that?
I don't know if it was all right or not, because I've nothing to compare it to. It was just how it was, you know. I was always really proud of him. And I'm so proud of him now. I'm so proud of the association with him. And I'm just delighted that he's there.
Yeah, of course. We all are. Let's get a second track from you to play on the show now. What is it, Red?
This is Little Red Corvette by Prince.
Great song. Why have you chosen it?
I love Prince. If I had to listen to one person on a desert island forever, it would be Prince. And it's got one of my favourite lyrics in a song ever, which is, I could tell by the way she parked her car sideways that it wouldn't last.
I've got a feeling this song might hold memories for you. I don't know, I'm just guessing.
Yeah, it does hold memories for me. My parents were young parents. My dad had three kids by the time he was 26, so they couldn't go out. So people came to us. And I grew up with these brilliant Sunday lunches that would go on till 2 a.m. And my parents' lovely mad friends would dance around the front room to Prince and to Little Red Corvette.
I guess I should know by the way you parked your car sideways.
This weekend's special guest on the show is the star of Pete vs. Life and an actor who's appeared in Prometheus One Day and is the writer in Life of Pi, which is out now and Rafe, set to be a Christmas blockbuster.
I hope so. I hope people go out and see it, because I think it's a really beautiful film.
Is shooting a film in 3D different to conventional filming?
That's interesting. I've done two 3D films now, Prometheus and Life of Pi. And number one, the camera's huge. It's like this sort of monster. I mean, it is ginormous, this thing. And I think that it picks up more in terms of performance. You can perhaps afford a little more subtlety when you're in front of a 3D camera than you would in front of a digital camera or film stock. It's such a young medium and we know so little about it. But to my mind, this film makes 3D make sense.
This has to be one of the best uses of 3D film and perhaps the most groundbreaking so far.
Yeah, sure, because it's not a sci-fi film. But I mean, it's extraordinary, but it's essentially a very human story. It's a two-hander between a boy and a tiger.
And when you first saw the final version of the film, what was your reaction?
I was really moved. And I watched it and I just thought, wow, this is something really special, something that's really going to stand the test of time. And how weird is it that I'm in it? That's genuinely what I think. I watch it and I go, it cuts back to me. I'm in it. It's really weird to be in this extraordinary film.
And so is it possible to compare Ang Lee with Edgar Wright, a director that you've worked with on a number of occasions now?
You know, it is, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, it is, because it's quite black and white with directing. You can either do it or you can't. Those that can are in an elite group. Edgar gets to make the films he wants to make because he's hugely talented. He understands visuals, he understands acting, he understands comedy. Ang Lee has all of those attributes as well.
With Edgar, you've done Spaced, you've done Hot Fuzz, and you've done the bit in the Tarantino film too, haven't you? I assume that you will always work with Edgar, right?
I would hope so. If I have the opportunity to work with Edgar Wright again in any way, I'll count myself very lucky, because he's a seriously smart and lovely human being.
Rafe, you've picked a selection of tracks for me to play on the show this weekend. We've had Sandy Denny and we've had Prince. What's next?
Tomorrow Morning by The Blue Nile.
Surprised by this choice? Explain.
Why are you surprised by it?
You're a guy of, what, 29?
Yeah.
Not even 30, so I'm surprised that The Blue Nile are on your radar.
My dad's a massive music lover, and my taste has been built around what played at home and what played in his car. And my dad is a huge fan of The Blue Nile. And again, it just gets my emotions stirred up, this song. I think it's beautiful. I think he has an extraordinary voice.
This may not last until tomorrow. So look at all the
love. Rafe, you're named after the protagonist in The Night of the Burning Pestle, a role your dad, Timothy, played at the Royal Shakespeare Company, and one that you eventually played yourself. That must have been incredibly fulfilling.
It's funny you should say that. It was a thing for me that I needed to do. It was the character that I was named after. My mum was in the audience of that play in 1980 or whatever, watching a young actor called Timothy Spall on stage. She fell in love with him when he was on stage. They met in the green room afterwards, and then I was her firstborn son. So they called me that character. And then I got the opportunity to do that play. Now, when my dad did it, it was a huge success. When I did it, it wasn't.
Why not? What happened?
Well, we got a 1-star review in The nice. Guardian with the headline, "A Turkey for Christmas."
Fantastic.
So that put hairs on my chest. But I am I'm pleased that I did it, tackling head on the idea that I am my dad's son and that I will be compared to him forever. And I did a part that he actually did to great acclaim, and it was a big failure. But I'm all the better for it.
And that's why it's so easy for you to talk about what an important part your dad's played in your life.
Exactly.
I guess, or at least one of the reasons. You're currently on stage with an actress I know that you love, Sally Hawkins.
Yes, I do love Sally Hawkins. I think she's an extraordinary actress and a really beautiful human being. I'm doing a play at the Duke of York's at the moment. It's essentially a romantic comedy, but Sally's character plays a quantum physicist who's... area of interest is based in multiverse, the idea that every decision you ever make, there's another you in a parallel universe making a different decision an infinite number of times. So the structure of multiverse is reflected in the structure of the play. You play a scene, you do it again with a slight difference and again with a slight difference, and it's funny and heartfelt and interesting, I hope.
And it's called Constellations. Rafe, you're mixing up theatre and film then. This is the perfect blend for any actor, isn't it?
It really is. I'm really lucky, you know. For every part I've ever done, there's 100 other guys out there who could have done the part as well as me, if not better, and the finger landed on me, and I'm really grateful for that, and under no illusions that luck plays a massive part in every actor's career, and all I can ever hope to do is enjoy it, because it beats working for a living, let me tell you that.
Rafe, yeah. You're a busy boy. Loads going on, and congratulations once again on The Life of Pi. This is a stunning, stunning piece of work, and Constellations, by all accounts. I haven't seen it, but the reviews have been fantastic, and those that I know that have seen it say it's extraordinary, it's brilliant.
Great, so, yeah, and we won the Best Play at the Evening Standard Awards the other day, which was great.
That's pretty good going. It's been a good year, yeah?
Yeah, it's been great, yeah.
What's your fourth and final track to play on the show this morning?
My fourth and final track is Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush. This is just my favourite song of all time. Something about this song, it just... You know that you have those special songs where you've just got to hear the first bar and it makes you feel something. I think it's a brilliant pop song. And if I had to choose a song to be the last song I ever heard, it would be this one.
Thank you so much, Rafe Spall.